It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Breeze throwing back in the end zone, deep and grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. I'm Bill Enright with Anthony Grace. Our producer is Kevin Collins, as always, and our number here is 855-728-7500, and our email is webradio@patriots.com. We have a very special show for you today. It is our Super Bowl 49 preview show. Your New England Patriots will take on the reigning Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks in just 10 days as we are broadcasting live on a Thursday. It is also our final show of the 2014-2015 season. We started in August during training camp and the preseason, broadcasted twice a week, every week, throughout the NFL regular season, and we've been here for the entirety of the Patriots' run to the Super Bowl, and now it's time for us to preview one more final game. Also, we will have Tom Brady's press conference live any minute. He's expected to take the podium and address the media about Deflategate sometime around 4:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as I'm saying that, if you're listening to us on demand, that's about 15 minutes from now. So let me repeat that. We will stream Tom Brady's press conference right here on Patriots.com radio. He is expected to address the media about Deflategate sometime in the next 20 minutes or so. Coach Belichick addressed the media this morning. Now it's the quarterback, Tom Brady's turn. So let me turn over to Anthony Grace, Kevin Collins. Gentlemen, kind of not what we really expected over the last couple of days. This story certainly has been amplified, has been increased media attention, increased fan attention. What do you guys make of it?
Bill, you know, it's an odd situation. I mean, you see a lot of different reports out there that maybe this is happening with other teams, things aren't getting taken care of. The biggest question I have, or the thing that I think would make the most sense, and I don't know why this hasn't been happening, is why don't they just have the referees or an independent party supply the footballs? They have each team bring footballs, but they all have to be the same weight, they all have to be the same, everything's supposed to be the same, but they have each team bring their own. Isn't that kind of odd?
You know, it always seems that it is, you're right, and it always seems like there was another situation this year where something happened along those lines, and we said, you know, why hasn't this always been in place? And sometimes it takes something like this to bring up a new rule. You know, replay wasn't around forever, even though right. The technology was there. The TV broadcasts had replay for a long time before the NFL finally said, you know what, we're going to implement replay into some of these calls that the referees are making. So sometimes it just takes a matter of this nature to implement something new. And maybe that's something that we see in the future, Ant.
I think it's definitely something that's going to be changed this offseason. Something definitely has to be done just to so the NFL can cover themselves and say, we can't, if anything comes of this again, we know our referees have the balls, our referees are the guys providing everything. If something comes of it, then the referees are at fault, not one team or the other. And if the referees do something to the footballs, then it's not benefiting one team or the other anyway at that point.
Let me turn it over here to Kevin for a second. I know you are down the hallway from the press conference room. Was there a lot more media in there today, Kev, or do you think it's typical for what Super Bowl week typically brings? What was it like down
yeah,
in
it's
July?
The most I've ever seen in my 5 years, more so than anything of note that had to do with the Hernandez thing even.
Really?
Yeah, so a lot of people.
You're telling me there was more media people here today over Deflategate than over the murder trial involving Aaron Hernandez?
Correct.
Come on, Kev.
I am correct.
Is that just, does that speak to the absurd nature of this controversy?
What's that?
That really sums up the absurd nature of this controversy, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I think we can all agree. If this was a different team, it would not be as big of an issue.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
you know, the NFL had a lot of controversies this year. Ray Rice, domestic violence. Adrian Peterson, child abuse. And now we have underinflated footballs. I mean, the spectrum of the craziness that is the NFL is just mind-boggling. And the fact that this is getting so much attention is shocking.
Yeah. I the thing that really gets
me in this. It overshadowed the State of the Union.
Well, you know,
well, it really did. I'm not joking.
That's nothing, that's very typical for sports or any kind of anything to overshadow the State of the Union.
Yeah,
American Idol. The American Idol winner gets more votes than the President of the United States.
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson should be running the country, apparently, so who the hell knows? But, you know, it's like you said, Bill, I think it's getting blown out of proportion to the point, mostly because the game was so out of hand. Like, look, I get it's against the rules. They cheated. That's all there is to it, bottom line. But by the same token, if the Patriots win by 7 or 10, we have a totally different conversation on our hands that you can kind of go to. But again, at halftime, this is when it was, DeQuell Jackson had that interception, gives it to the ref, and they said at halftime they took care of it and got rid of those footballs. So
Can I just jump in for 1 second?
Go ahead.
There's no judge and jury yet that says this team cheated. For all
no,
you
this
know,
is all speculation.
For all you know, and this just happens to be a hunch that I have, a gauge was never put in those balls 2.5 hours before the game. Mm. I think that they were probably inspected by the officials and felt and maybe squeezed a little bit or whatever, you know, whatever they felt was adequate inspection. But I would have a very hard time believing that Walt Anderson or somebody on his officiating crew took a PSI gauge and stuck it into all 12 footballs. And that gauge wasn't stuck in those
really
balls.
Really, 24 footballs.
Yeah, I believe, and I firmly believe, that gauge wasn't stuck in those balls until halftime when the Colts requested it. And if that's the case, then I think this, you know, when you're talking about blame, it's on the officials more than it's on the Patriots. And that's what I think is going to happen. But that's just a hunch.
I agree. And again, like you said, the officials are the last guys to have contact with the footballs. They're supposed to double check everything. So if something does come down, they need to be held at fault too for not doing anything about it.
I think if you asked all the officials, you know, or past officials that have since retired over a beer at your local watering hole, and you asked those guys, you know, when you did your inspections, whether it's inspecting the team's uniforms or their socks or, you know, whatever code that they need to inspect, including the footballs, most guys would probably tell you, you know, we felt the balls, we ran our hands over them to make sure there were no Vaseline or anything, you know, stick them or anything like that. And as long as they weren't egregiously, you know, rock hard or egregiously pancake soft, we let them play with it.
Yeah.
Because each team got to provide their own balls, and each team is not going to cheat itself, you know what I mean, out of the opportunity to catch the ball. It would be one thing if the home team provided the other team's balls and could treat those balls differently than their own, you know? But that's not the case. So I feel like it's just one of those unwritten rules, maybe similar to the way that a baseball pitcher might, you know, deal with his baseball when he gets it and rubs it up every time he gets a new one, or God knows what else they do with it. But I just think that before people say, you know, the Patriots cheated, or, you know, they obviously tried to deceive the league or deceive their opponents, it's important for everybody that has an opinion on this to let the league come up with what they need to come up with and issue their findings before we start pointing fingers and going on witch hunts.
Let me give some updated information here and just give some background in case anyone listening now has missed over the last couple hours. Okay, so Coach Belichick had had a press conference this morning. The gist of it, he said he basically has no, and I quote, no explanation for the deflated footballs. And he went on to say, quote, in my entire coaching career, I've never talked to any player or staff member about football air pressure. He told the media, and when they asked him questions, I've told you everything I know. I'm looking at the press conference area now, and it is packed, standing room only, right down the hall from you, Kev. What is it, about 100 feet away?
It's about 100 yards away.
Yeah, 100 yards away, right. I'm sorry, at the end, other end of the field, right? Kev?
Yeah, it's the other end of the tunnel. I'm just getting us squared away so we can take this.
So that was Coach Belichick this morning. Tom Brady, quarterback of the Patriots, will have a press conference. The media looks ready. They're expecting him any minute. We will carry that press conference live. We will stream it live here on Patriots.com radio as you're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs, brought to you by DraftKings. A couple days ago, Coach Belichick and Tom Brady basically really just didn't really elaborate on this issue because it's so, in my opinion, so absurd. I don't think they felt the need that this would become such a nationally publicized issue, but it has. Nonetheless, Brady's going to talk to the public. Brady's going to talk to the media. Not the public. He'll talk to the media. The media will carry it to the public in just a few minutes. What's up? Do we have an update, Kev?
No, I'm just asking you, Bill. Would it shock you if when Tom Brady takes his podium, whenever that is, what if he says something to the effect of, you know, I went through my pregame ritual and we treated the balls like we've treated them for the past 15 years that I've been in the league? Okay, what if that is the answer to one of these questions, or that's his statement?
I think that is certainly in the realm of possibility, because Aaron Rodgers told, I believe it was Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels during a Sunday night game. Actually, might have been against the Patriots.
Kevin. It was Sims and Nance. Because it was before that game. Yeah,
it wasn't Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
No, I think it was Sims and Nance.
Anyway, the point is, Aaron Rodgers says he likes the balls overinflated, and he likes to push it a little bit beyond what the NFL allows. Rich Gannon and Brad Johnson, when they played against the Super Bowl, they both agreed together as quarterbacks to kind of sand the balls down a little bit so that they weren't as slick, they weren't as smooth, because they were playing with brand new football. So they wanted them a little roughed up.
Balls feel good. That ball there has silicone on it.
I think quarterbacks in the NFL do like balls a certain way, and that's what Brady said to his teammates this morning or before or after practice. I don't know when it came.
You know who had some great insight on this, Bill? Was our now the Patriots now color commentator and former backup quarterback Scott Zolak. He was on Bob Soucy's show yesterday, and he did a great 15-minute interview with Bob on how he is the backup quarterback when he was in New England. Back when I was a kid, we had Bledsoe, and Bledsoe was my idol. Zoe was his backup, and Zoe's job every Saturday was to prep those 12 footballs for Bledsoe. Okay. And he knew exactly how Drew liked him, and he put so much thought and so much effort into it, he ended up coming up with like a step-by-step process of like how he needed to doctor them every week. Because every week there were 12 new ones. You couldn't use the ones from the week before. So it involved, like, he was like, every Saturday morning, I'd get my coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts, you know, 3 miles north of the stadium, and I'd bring the balls in, and I'd start scrubbing them up, and he had a piece of wood, and on the wood, he nailed a piece of AstroTurf to the wood, and that's how he would, like, rough up the balls on the outside, and he'd have his coffee and his breakfast and whatever, then he'd put the balls back in the sack after he roughed them up, and then he'd bring them down to the laundry room here at the old Foxborough Stadium.
Yeah.
He'd put them in a dryer for 30 minutes. They'd come out the dryer, he'd take all the air out of them, then he'd soak them for an hour in hot water, and then he'd take them out of the hot water, then he'd inflate them again, and then he'd put them back in the dryer for another 30 minutes. And it's like, you're listening to this, and that was just standard operating procedure for Zoe every single Saturday for over a decade. And he did the same thing when he was in Miami for Marino, but he had a different routine, because Marino liked him different. And he was explaining how Marino had a unique callus on the end of his, like, throwing ring finger that enabled him, that callus and that natural growth on his finger enabled him to spin the ball in terms of a spiral tighter than anybody Zoe had ever seen throw a ball.
Wow.
And it just goes to show you how, you know, I don't know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, baseball players with their, or pitchers with their mitt, or a hockey player with the curve of his stick, you know, I don't know, it's just like a personal preference, you know, Bill?
Now, I hear you, Kev, and I think every quarterback in the league has their own procedure in terms of how they like their footballs, prepared and inflated. But it's something that we would never even think to cover.
No.
Because
each guy
every
gets
quarterback
to do it.
Does it.
Exactly. Each guy gets to do it and goes through his own process.
Now, some new info just came out about 30 minutes ago. And by the way, I believe Brady's press conference just got pushed back another 15 minutes. We're certainly
that
keeping an
right.
eye on that. And we will bring it to you live as he steps to the podium. New info came out about 30 minutes ago saying that the referees did, in fact, dump all of the footballs heading into the second half and brought out new footballs. So each team, in addition to the 12 footballs that they have backup footballs, and that's what happened. That's what they used in the second half. Now, if you remember, the score was 17-7.
Yeah, 17-7 through one half, then 28-0 or whatever it was in the second
half. Right, 17-7 in the first half with the underinflated footballs. The final score was 45-7 with the regulated inflation.
Correct.
Now, you have to remember here that a couple people are misunderstanding the what actually is technically underinflated. So we're not when
here,
when,
we go,
when
Bill.
You
here
hear,
we go. Here we go.
Is he coming on now?
Yeah, I think I see him. Here we go.
All right. So Tom Brady, we're going to go to the Tom Brady press conference as he is stepping to.
I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to ask questions that you want. I'll do my best to provide the answers that you know I have, if any. And we'll go from there.
When and how did you alter the balls, Tom? When and how did you supposedly alter the balls?
I didn't, you know, have any, you know, I didn't alter the ball in any way. I have a process that I go through before every game where I go in and I pick the balls that I want to, the footballs that I want to use for the game. Our equipment guys do a great job of breaking the balls in. You know, they have the process that they go through. When I pick those footballs out, at that point, you know, to me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them, you know, putting in the air in them, taking the air out. To me, those balls are perfect, and that's what I expect when I show up on the field. So, you know, that happened, obviously, on Sunday night. It was the same process that I always go through. I didn't think anything of it. You know, obviously I woke up Monday morning and answered a question on the radio about it. And that was, you know, the first I really heard of it.
Peter Alexander from NBC News. This has raised a lot of uncomfortable conversations for people around this country who view you, a three-time Super Bowl champion, a two-time MVP, as their idol. The question they're asking themselves is, what's up with our hero? So can you answer right now, is Tom Brady a cheater?
I don't believe so. I mean, I feel like I've always played within the rules. I would never do anything to break the rules. You know, I believe in fair play and I respect the league and, you know, everything that they're doing to try to create a very competitive playing field for all the NFL teams. It's a very competitive league. You know, every team is, you know, trying to do the best they can to win every week. You know, I believe in fair play and I've always believed in it for as long as I'm playing.
Did Coach know about this process at all? And after he spoke earlier, everybody kind of said that he kind of threw you in front of the bus. Did you feel like he kind of just put you in front of this?
No, I think everyone's obviously trying to figure out what happened. I think that's, you know, the main thing over the last couple days. It's trying to figure out, you know, what happened. Like I said, I was as surprised as anybody when I heard Monday morning what was happening. That's, I think over the last few days, people have been trying to figure out, as the NFL is trying to figure out, you know, what part of the process. And you know, from when I saw the ball, which was 5 hours before halftime, you know, what exactly happened.
Tom, do all the NFL quarterbacks doctor the balls? Do you feel you've done anything differently than anybody else in the league?
I'm not sure. You know, I can only speak for myself. I think that there's a process that everybody goes through breaking in footballs, and it's, you know, probably like a lot like a baseball mitt when you're a kid. I try to explain that to my friends a lot. You know, when you use and that's your equipment, and that's you know, a football is something that I handle on every play. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using, just like my cleats, just like my helmet, just like my, you know, my pads. You know, you go through that process of breaking the balls in and getting comfortable with them. Of course, you know, I choose the balls that I want to use for the game, and then, You know, that's what I expect to go out on the playing field with.
Tom, how important is it for you to get this out of the way and take this head on so that your teammates and the rest of the team can get focused on the Super Bowl?
Well, that's, you know, that's where the importance is, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I know, you know, this is a very important thing, and that's why I'm here addressing it. You know, I know my teammates, you know, we've accomplished something really special getting to this point. You know, it's, I don't like the fact that this has taken away from some of the accomplishment of, you know, what we've achieved as a team. And I think, you know, hopefully our best is still to come. So we're going to work as hard as we can over the next 10 days to put ourselves in, you know, a great position to be prepared for the game.
Would you know the difference, Tom? From a quote-unquote underinflated ball to an overinflated ball, and the balls that were used in the first half, did you notice a difference in the balls that were actually there for the second half? And would it make a difference?
I didn't, from the first half to the second half, I didn't think twice about it. I mean, I don't have put one thought into the football at that point. You know, once I approved the ball, like I said, that's the ball that I expect out there on the field. So it wasn't even a thought, inkling of a concern of mine that, you know, they were any different. I just assumed that they were exactly the same first half, second half.
Tom, what do you say about to the skeptics who say, look, the Patriots have had violations before. How can we possibly believe what Brady and the coach are saying now?
Well, everybody has, you know, an opinion. I think everybody has, you know, the right to believe whatever they want. I don't ever cast judgment on someone's belief system, and I don't, you know, if that's what they feel like they want to do, then, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I think part of being in this position and putting yourself under a spot like this and being open for criticism, I think that's very much a part of being a professional athlete. So, you know, we can only express to you what our side is and how we approach it, and then everyone is going to make their own.
As a follow-up, are you comfortable within yourself that nobody on Sunday on the Patriots side did anything wrong?
I have no knowledge of anything. I have no knowledge of any wrongdoing of any.
Nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable saying that. I'm very comfortable saying that nobody did it. As far as I know, I don't know everything. I also understand that I, you know, was in a locker room preparing for a game for 5 hours. I don't know what happened over the course of the process with the footballs. I was preparing for my own job and doing what I needed to do.
Tom, 4 years ago, you said that you liked the ball deflated. You were quoted saying you liked throwing a deflated ball. You actually joked about Gronk spiking it because it oozes out a little bit of air. You like a softer ball. So explain that comment in context of what you're dealing with this week.
Yeah, I know. I remember, you know, I obviously read that I said that. You know, I like them at the way that I like them, which is at 12.5. I mean, to me, that's a perfect grip for the football. So, I mean, I think that particular term, you know, deflated or inflated, whatever norm you're using, you could probably use. I would never do anything outside of the rules of play. I would never, you know, have someone do something that I thought was outside of the
So you never knowingly played with a football that was under 12.5 pounds of pressure?
No.
Tom, should you have tried to find out why the balls in the last 3 days, why the balls were so underinflated? I mean, obviously it's important to you and the reputation of the Patriots, but have you tried to find out, even though you don't know that? Or should you have tried to find out why the balls were underinflated?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of people that have more information than me. You know, I only know what I've kind of gone through in the process that I've, you know, taken as part of the game and in the post game, as well as trying to prepare for the Super Bowl. So, you know, yeah, I have questions too, but, you know, I mean, there's nobody that I know that can answer the questions that I have. So I just have tried my best to focus on what I need to do is to be prepared for
Seattle. If you know the look and feel of the football that you like, do you think there could have been other games where you played with an underinflated football since that football you played with was maybe something you preferred?
I don't know. I don't, like I said, once I'm out on the field, I'm playing, you know, I have no thought of the football at that point. I'm thinking about the defense. I'm thinking about the execution of the play and what I need to do. I'm not thinking about you know, how the football feels. I grip the football.
You're saying, hey, have I played with an underinflated ball before?
I have no idea. I have no idea. This was the first that I've heard of it, obviously, on Monday morning was the first that I heard of it.
Tom, how disappointed are you?
Held accountable. If it's found that someone did improperly tamper with the balls in some way, it's important for you and the legacy of this team that someone's held accountable.
Well, that's for, you know, I'm not the one that imposes, you know, those type of, you know, accountability. It's, you know, discipline and all that. That's, you know, not really my job. So, you know, obviously I'd like to know what happened, as you all would too. In the meantime, I'm going to try to get ready to do the best I can to play, you know, against the Seahawks, because I can't do anything of what's happened in the past. You know, I have to just go forward with the most awareness as I can going forward and trying to be the best that I could be for our team.
Everybody's entitled to their opinions and beliefs, right? But how does it make you feel that they're calling your team cheaters on the week, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl?
I think a big part of playing here is, you know, trying to ignore the outside forces and influences and people that are maybe fans of your team or not fans of your team or fans of yourself or not fans of yourself. And like I said, everybody's entitled to an opinion. You know, those opinions rest with those people. You know, I think you can just go out and try to be the best person you can be, deal with people with respect, with honesty, with integrity, you know, have a high moral standard. You know, and I've always really tried to exemplify that as an athlete. And I'll continue to try to do that.
Does this motivate you guys?
I mean, we got a lot of motivation. And I would say we got a lot of motivation as a team. But, you know, I think our team's overcome a lot of adversity this year. And I think sometimes in life, the biggest challenges end up being the best things that happen in your life. And we've overcome a lot of those this year as a team. So, you know, we can rally around one another and support one another. You can be the best teammate that you can possibly be. And, you know, you can go out and support each other and try to go win a very important game.
Did you address your teammates today? And if so, what did you say to them?
Those are, you know, very personal things, you know, with my teammates. So that's, yeah, it was very personal comments.
When you picked up the ball, was that before they went to the referees?
Yeah, they always are. It's always the same process. I get here, you know, the playoffs, I got here pretty early before the games, and then I go in there and I choose, you know, however many balls are necessary for the game. Sometimes it's 12, 16, 18, 24. This last particular game was 24. And when I felt them, they were perfect. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away until I got out on the field and had the opportunity to play with them, and that's what I thought I was doing.
Those
balls were what they were going to go to the officials by halftime. They're deflated by 2 points?
Absolutely. That was very surprising to me.
Tom, one of your teammates this morning said that this was a media thing and gives us something to talk about. Is that the feeling in the room? Because he didn't give it as much seriousness as I thought he would have. Is there a feeling behind closed doors that we're blowing this out of proportion? Or is it a serious thing that you're really concerned about?
Absolutely. No, it's very serious. This is a very serious, you know, topic. You know, obviously the integrity of the sport is very important. You know, I also think there's another focus that we have also as a team, that guys are really focused on our opponent and the things that we have to do to try to be successful. So, you know, everyone's trying to figure out what happened. But at the same time, you got to prepare for, you know, the Seahawks also.
Tom, you sort
of laughed this off on Monday, though. You laughed this off on the radio, and suddenly today you're a lot more somber about this. What happened between Monday and today?
Well, that was, you know, look, that was real early in the morning. I got home, you know, at 12, 1 o'clock and woke up to do the radio interview. And that was, I was very shocked to hear it. So I almost laughed it off thinking it wasn't, you know, that was more sour grapes than anything. And then it ended up, you know, it ends up being a very serious thing when the, you know, when you start learning the things that were being said.
But the start of the second half was delayed. The balls were swapped out. Coach says he knew nothing about it, which, you know, you have to take him at his word, but the game was delayed. How did you guys on that sideline not know what was going on the field with respect to the balls and that there was obviously an issue with the balls?
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls. I think they said the balls are not ready for play, and then I turned around in the huddle, and the ball was ready for play. So I didn't think anything of it.
Nobody said anything to you, Tom, on the sideline. I mean, it was a good minute.
delay between the start of your series, when you came on the field, got ready, got lined up, and then before you had your first snap. There's a good minute delay there. Nobody said anything?
I wasn't paying attention to what was happening at that time. I don't remember, you know, I mean, everything was happening, obviously, so fast in the middle of the game. I was thinking about the series that were out there and, you know, the execution of the game.
So Tom, you say that you like it, Tom?
The officials did not say it for me.
You don't feel like you had an unfair advantage over the Colts? You don't feel like you had an unfair advantage over the Colts?
I felt like we won the game fair and square, so we ended up, you know, playing a great opponent, and I thought our team went out and played a great game offensively, defensively, special teams. It was a great accomplishment to reach the AFC Championship, to win the AFC Championship, and then to have the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. So that was a great feeling after the game. You know, obviously the next few days and hearing of the football issue has, you know, taken away from a little bit of that, but, you know, hopefully we'll rally around one another to bring it back to the task at hand, which is to try to go out and, you know, be the best we can be.
Tom, you say that you love
fans right now are disappointed just in the situation right here. For those, is this a moment where you should just pause and say whether it was by design, and as you suggest it wasn't, or just accidental, is this a moment to just say, I'm sorry, to the fans of the NFL and to the fans of Tom Brady?
Well, I think it's disappointing that a situation like this, you know, happens. It's obviously I'd love to be up here talking about in a very joyful mood. These are the two best weeks of the year if you happen to be one of the two teams still playing. So it's a great, you know, it should be a great 2 weeks. You know, I'm obviously very disappointed that we have to be having a press conference like this. I wish I could give you more answers or the answers that you guys were looking for, but I don't have some of those answers.
The fans are watching. So if they're looking in that camera, what do you say?
I'm not sure what would you like me to say. I'm not quite sure.
You say whatever you like. You're the guy.
Does the league have responsibility to button this up so that everybody can move on?
I think, you know, they'll do however they see fit. You know, I think that's up to their, you know, responsibility to do whatever they want to do. That's kind of usually what happens anyway. So, like I said, I know they're doing their investigation. You know, and that's, I'm sure, I don't know what will happen after that.
Did you guys be able to push in the wind a little bit over here between you and Bill?
No, I mean, I think we're preparing for you know, the Super Bowl. You know, I think this is obviously something we're having to address, but at the same time, I think we're focused on trying to go out and beat the Seahawks.
Tom, you say your perfect ball is 12 and a half.
Sorry?
Did the investigators in the league talk to you as part of the investigation?
Not yet.
Well, so your perfect ball is 12 and a half. The seriousness of the issue. You said earlier that first it seemed lighter and then you became convinced that it was more serious. What was it that convinced you of the seriousness?
Well, I just wasn't obviously aware Monday morning of, you know, everything that had happened. So it just as I learned more, you understand that there's more than what I initially.
What's most serious about to you? I mean, what's the biggest problem with it from your point of view?
Just the integrity of the game. I think that's a very important issue to always, you know, be mindful of as an athlete and fair play. And I think we set a great example for the younger athletes, the younger kids, the college kids, the high school kids. You know, we want to be the ones to set the great example.
Tom, Bill said that a future.
Are you frustrated by this process? Are you surprised by the process of what the story has become? And what, I guess, do you hope the end result is going forward from what this incident has brought out?
I'm not sure if I have, you know, a hope. I haven't, you know, put much thought into that. It's been just a short period of time. I'd really love to go out there and, you know, play a great game. You know, obviously the NFL would love to figure out what happened in this situation. You know, and I try to keep everything in perspective. So I'm happy that we have opportunity to play in the next game. And, you know, obviously I'm disappointed by, you know, the footballs of last game. But I can't do anything about what happened. You know, I can only try to... you know, I can really only do something going forward.
They haven't talked to you yet? The league has not spoken to you, contacted you, and gotten your side of the story on this yet?
No, but, you know, they may. I think that's their I think that's obviously their choice.
Tom, do you find that odd, though? If they wanted, like Tom said, to put this behind us and get ready for the Super Bowl, they would have contacted you?
Sure. Yeah, they might. They might.
Tom, you're Tom.
Okay.
Yeah. Tom, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not.
You know, Mike, it's odd that they haven't at this point. That, you know, you're the quarterback and you're the center of this story right now, and the league's officials investigating haven't talked to you, indicates to a lot of people that they're letting this drag on, twist in the wind.
I'm not sure.
Have you been told whether they will talk to you?
I'm not sure.
Tom, there are people who are going to hear this, and they're going to say, if you're so familiar with the equipment, how could you not know that the balls were underinflated? What would you say to them?
Well, I addressed that a little bit earlier in that, you know, like I said, I don't put any thought into the footballs after I choose them. You know, when you're out there playing, you know, in front of 70,000 people, like a home crowd, you don't think about it. You're just reacting to the game. I don't certainly think about the football. I just assume that it's the same one that I approve, you know, in the pregame.
You're perfect football, Tom.
Last question, guys. Balls you would use in practice?
We break them in practice, certainly sometimes. Yeah, we definitely do that. You know, it's different from game to game. I mean, some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. It depends on maybe how, I don't know, the humidity in the air or the whether how old the ball was or, you know, I think there's a lot of variables with, obviously, Mother Nature and with the ball. So, you know, whatever feels good that day, those are the ones that I would typically choose.
So those are the same ones that maybe Bill squirts a little water on where you're not looking at in practice?
Yeah, he does that a lot, but I, you know, it could be, yeah. You know, it definitely could be.
Tom, what's
the
city?
Tom, you have better numbers. Look at these balls before each game and you pick the ones you want. The ones you picked, those were the balls, and as you said earlier, you didn't want them to be touched. You didn't notice that 15% of the air was out of the ball when you started using it?
Yeah, Ron, I didn't feel any different, obviously, than I would just assume that it was the same thing. It's like I said, once I get the ball, I'm, you know, dropping back and reading the coverage and throwing the ball, and I'm not, you know,
to professional athletes can tell you if they're basketball players, if the rim is 6 inches off, they can tell you by taking two shots. Baseball players pick up a bat and tell you it's less than an ounce different than what it's supposed to be. You're trying to ask us to believe that you, who makes your living with football, 15% of the ball is deflated, and I didn't even notice.
I wouldn't know on a particular play. I mean, it was a very wet, cold, windy night. You know, like I said, it's.
But Jaquel Jackson could notice.
Have you asked the staff?
I don't know. I don't do that, Ron. I get the snap, I drop back, I throw the ball. You know, I grip it and I try to throw the ball. That's the extent of the, you know, me touching the football. So I don't sit there and, you know, try to squeeze it and determine that. If that's what the Colts want to do, then that's what they want to do. I don't, you know, that was what their decision was. But I certainly didn't. Yeah, certainly I didn't, you know, no, I did not recognize that. I did not feel the difference between the first half and the second half when supposedly they were inflated to the, you know, original, even more inflated. I didn't notice any difference. I, you know, I didn't obviously think there was anything different between halves.
When you initially tested the balls and they met your approval, do you think you would have noticed if the balls were underinflated at that time?
Yeah, but I'm not. I don't know. I guess it's a challenging thing. I'm not squeezing the balls. I'm not, you know, that's not part of my process. I grab it. I feel the lace. I feel the leather. I feel the tack on the ball. You know, that's really what you go for. It's not like I had ever squeezed the football. I just gripped the football. I think there's maybe a little bit of a difference in, you know, how I do that.
You did say that.
Tom, is that going to align with the fact that you had better numbers after that happened when the whole exchange was made? You went 9 for 9 in the rest of that third quarter after the supposedly underinflated balls were taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like I said, I didn't think any differently in the second half as I did in the first half. I mean, I know, you know, we had a great second half. It was due to great execution by a lot of, you know, great football players. So, like I said, I know that's, you know, obviously the, you know, what they said, they put, you know, they inflated them and, you know, I didn't notice it. I didn't notice the difference. I wish I could tell you something different. I just didn't notice any difference.
Tom, you did say that your perfect football was 12 and a half pounds per square inch, though, and Bill said that possibly a future fix could be to inflate them a little bit more so that if they deflate during the course of the game, it won't go under that bottom level. Will that take any adjustment for you if 12 and a half is what you like?
I don't think that would make much of a difference. You know, if, you know, like I said, I didn't feel any difference between what was 13-pound football or 11-pound football the other night. So it's, it's pretty irrelevant to me.
What do you think,
Tom? You were instrumental in helping the league change the rule that lets teams bring their own balls to games on offense.
Yeah.
Will you now help lobby the league to change the rules surrounding this situation?
What situation? What process would that be of us breaking in our own balls?
And making sure the balls are the proper weight throughout the game.
Yeah, if they want to do that, I have no problem with that. I certainly wouldn't want them to take away us breaking the balls in. I think that's a great thing for all the quarterbacks to have the balls in play that they want to use. Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different, and it's leather, and it's all, every batch comes, they're different. So you got to feel them, and you try to go out and you try to use the ones that you like the best, the ones that you, use in practice. You want to go out there and try to, have the most possible consistency you can to go in the game with.
I'm not concerned that some of the balls will be underweight, so will you then go to the league and say, hey, let's change these rules. Let's make sure I'm never touching a ball that I believe is the proper weight that might not be.
Absolutely. If they want to check that, I would love for them to be a 12-and-a-half. Like I said, I think that's the perfect fit for me. I know there's other quarterbacks, like I said, that may prefer more than that, but that's what works for me. It's all in a very individual thing.
Tom, are you
saying the refs might have missed this?
Am I saying that?
Is it possible the refs missed this and they didn't catch it?
I don't have any, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't, I don't know what happened. I mean, I have no explanation for it. I don't know what happened between the time that I touched it and, really till Monday morning, I had no idea what happened with the balls. So,
who handles the balls after the ref hands them back over to team custody?
I have no idea. That's not part of my process.
Ball boy, equipment manager.
I have no idea. I'm, preparing for the game. I would never be a part of that.
Who handles the ball?
Are you here?
Practice. You say I might like this ball for the game. Where does that ball go?
The quarterbacks always, will throw the balls, and if we like a ball, then we throw it aside.
Tom, just to confirm, the NFL hasn't questioned you. Have they contacted your reps, agent, anything?
As of this morning, I'm not sure. I'd say that. I'm not sure. They may or may not have. I'm supposed to, talk to my agent after, and that may be one of the things that he wants to talk about.
Have you seen them on site at all here?
No.
Tom, have you heard from any former teammates, current NFL players? I mean, you don't have to say who they are, obviously, but have you gotten any opinions, pro or con, about what's going on with Deflategate and the Patriots?
Well, I've had a lot of, great support from, a lot of people, and I think that in a situation like this, it's really, it's a very, like I said, sometimes some of the toughest things you deal with end up being the best things because you realize the people that you can rely on that love you and support you through, something like this. So it's a... I appreciate all their support. I tell them I'm okay. Things are going to be fine. This isn't ISIS. This isn't, no one's dying. But we'll get through this, and, hopefully we can really start preparing for Seattle and, get our mind focused there because, they're going to take, all my mental energy for the next 10 days.
Do you think this got blown out of proportion for no reason?
I think the integrity of the game is very important. Integrity of the game is very important.
Tom, have you personally sought out anyone from the equipment staff just to ask them if they did anything with the footballs?
Yeah, and they haven't, and I believe them. And they also know that how I like the balls, and I tell them how great they are before the game, and how you know, perfect job, great job. So they, you know, they know how I like it, and that's, you know, exactly the way they are.
Tom, one last thing. Coach Belichick was out here earlier. I believe one of the things that he said was, I don't know what happened. You just said, I don't know what happened. Yet most of the football world believes that you two guys are the two most prepared guys for any situation known to man. Anything to do with it. We all talked about the situation in football. You weren't part of this team. You were sitting here, back at home. Would you be saying, oh yeah, those guys wouldn't know anything. They know everything else. They wouldn't know a thing about this. Or would you be skeptical?
Well, it's whosever opinion, you know, everybody has can have an opinion, Ron. And I think that, you know, whatever opinion people have, I mean, that's okay by me. I think I put myself in this position where I can stand up here and deal with that. I know what I go through on a daily basis. I know the process that I take. I also know what's in my control and what's out of my control. So I think a lot of my whole life, it's been about focusing on the things that are in my control and trying to do the best with that opportunity and the best I can with it. If I don't know something, I don't know something. I don't know what to say other than that. I just know the process that I go through, and I'm very comfortable with it. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, go forward and, you know, play a great game in a week from Sunday.
Tom, when you left the field on Sunday or drove home Sunday night, is this the last thing you'd ever think you'd be talking about come Thursday before you guys depart to Arizona?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like I said, I had no. Yeah.
Tom,
thanks, guys. I think they said that's it about 10 minutes ago. So thank you, guys.
All right. So that was Tom Brady's press conference on Deflategate. We streamed the entire conference, about 35 minutes of it, as he took to the podium around 4:15. It is now 4:49 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you listen to the show, you know I'm terrible at math, but that was at least over somewhat of a half hour. He finally left the
Bill Enright time. That was at least like 4 hours.
I mean, that was a long press conference.
Oh yeah.
He addressed every single question that was thrown.
So how long
at him.
Are we going here?
He addressed pretty much everything from A to Z that you can think of about Deflategate, about pressure in the footballs, about how he likes the footballs prepared, about how other quarterbacks like the footballs prepared, about the rules in the NFL. We are going to take a quick break, but we are going to break down that entire press conference as you're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings right here on Patriots.com. Quick break, full recap of Tom Brady's press conference, plus our Super Bowl preview. That's all coming up next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs as we are broadcasting live on patriots.com radio. Tom Brady just ended his press conference about 5 minutes ago. We will have our full reactions, but first, I do want to get into just some of the quotes that I was writing down as he was speaking. If you watched it live, you heard a lot of reporters throwing questions at Brady. It always seems like he tried to answer them in order of the person who started talking first. I don't know if the PR person was helping him decide, pointing to the reporter and then answering that question. But really just to start on being an idol, on being a cheater, Tom Brady said, I don't believe so. I would never do anything to break the rules, and I believe in fair play. On Coach Belichick knowing about Deflategate, Brady said, everyone is just trying to figure out what happened. He was surprised as anybody when he heard what was happening on Monday morning. Again, these are all quotes from the press conference. So when I say I, it was Tom Brady talking. Another reporter asked, do all NFL quarterbacks doctor the ball? Brady said, I can only speak for myself. There is a process that everyone goes through when breaking in footballs, and he then compared it to breaking in a baseball mitt, cleats, or a helmet. Another quote, he goes through the process of breaking in the balls and getting comfortable with. Goes through the same process of breaking in the balls and getting comfortable with every week. A reporter asked, does this distract the team on focusing on the Super Bowl? And Brady says, that is where the focus is. We have accomplished something real special getting to this point. Hopefully our best is still to come, and we are going to work as hard as we can over the next 10 days. On him noticing a difference of the footballs between the first and the second half, he, quote, I didn't think twice or put one thought into the football. Another reporter asked on the Patriots cheating or allegations of cheating before, and Brady says everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has the right to believe whatever they want. I don't cast judgment on someone's belief system. A reporter asked him, do you believe you did something wrong? And Brady responded, I have no knowledge of anything, kind of what Bill Belichick said in response to a lot of his questions as well. Reporter specifically said, Tom, do you like deflated footballs? Brady responded, quote, I like them the way that I like them, at 12.5, that he's referring to the PSI. Goes on to say, that's a perfect grip for me. I would never do anything. This is an important one. Quote, I would never do anything outside of the rules of play. Now, there's going to be two sides of that, people that believe in that quote. There's going to be the believers in Tom Brady or the haters of Tom Brady. If you're watching ESPN right now, they have Jerome Bettis, Brian Dawkins, Mark Brunell, all of them just came out and said, we think Brady's lying. If you turn on NFL Network, kind of a different situation. Here on this channel, I believe everyone believes in Tom Brady telling the truth. A couple more quotes here, and then we'll get into some of the reaction from Anthony and Kevin. A reporter asked Tom, have you played with other games with underinflated footballs? Quote, once I'm out on the field, I have no thought about the football at that point. I'm thinking about the defense and the execution of that play, end quote. Reporter asked, how do you feel teams are calling you cheaters? Another quote, everyone is entitled to their opinion. Those opinions rest with those people. I think you can go out and be the best person you can be, have a high moral standard. I have always tried to exemplify that as an athlete. Of course, Brady referring to himself. And recognizes that kids, fans everywhere across the world look up to him as a role model. Definitely not taking that Charles Barkley approach. A reporter asked him what happened between today and Monday, because on Monday Brady kind of laughed off the inclination that anything was wrong with the footballs. And he said, basically, it ended up being a real serious thing between then and now. When he woke up Monday morning, that was the first he heard of this Deflategate situation. He also went on to say that the NFL has not reached out to him, has not interviewed him, has not asked him any questions about the preparation of the football, the process of which he likes them doctored, which one reporter used that term. So Brady wasn't even contacted by the NFL yet. He asked if he felt the Patriots had an unfair advantage. Quote, I felt we won the game fair and square. He went on to say, great accomplishment to go to the AFC Championship, win the AFC Championship game, and now go on to the Super Bowl. He also went on to say, hopefully we will rally around each other, focus on the task at hand. One reporter asked him to say sorry to the fans. Look in the camera and say sorry. And Brady responded saying, I'm disappointed in the situation like this. These are the two best weeks of the year if you happen to be one of the two teams playing, and it's certainly disappointing that all of this is coming up. And again, Tom Brady has not been contacted yet by the NFL. And I think, gentlemen, that's where we should pick things up. I don't think we should dive into what the ESPNs of the world are doing and saying, do we believe Tom Brady or not? That's pointless. The guy said, we're not here to judge what Tom Brady is lying or not. He came out and said, I believe within playing in the rules. I've always tried to stay within the rules of the game, and I believe in fair play, and I would never do anything to break the rules. We're not here to start calling Tom Brady a liar by any means. So instead, let's focus on the punishment. Let's focus on why the heck the NFL hasn't reached out to him yet, and let's focus on the main thing, in my opinion. This cannot carry over into next week, because if, Kevin, you think it was a media circus today, just wait until next week. The NFL has to act swiftly. They have to act quickly and do something now in terms of a punishment. If they decide, if they find that something was foul play here, because otherwise, if this carries into next week without any punishment being made, it will be crazy. And honestly, I think it'll take a lot away from the Super Bowl, from media day, from diving into these players, diving into the teams, the X's and O's of the game. So, Anthony, let me start with you. What was your initial reaction after hearing Brady's 35 or so minute long press conference?
Yeah, like you just said, the whole fact that the NFL hasn't contacted him at all with all this going on, everybody's known about it since obviously the day after it happened, or supposedly happened. So I think that's really the oddest thing that I took from that press conference. I don't think Tom Brady knew if something was wrong. I don't think Tom Brady knew. I think he's like you said. He just seems like a guy that wouldn't do that. I don't know. The fact the NFL didn't contact him yet is something's off about that.
Now, do you think it's more that they're still trying to find out more details? I mean, didn't they learn their lesson regarding all this in terms of what happened with Ray Rice over the summer and reaching out to the Atlantic City police? Didn't they wait way too long before they decided to do something about it? I mean, it seems like the NFL is either dropping the ball or they're doing their own investigation without reaching out to the people that are involved.
Yeah, and if they're doing their own investigation, obviously you think they would notify the people involved, like you just said. So, you know, the NFL this past year, with all the things that happened, from Ray Rice to Adrian Peterson to now the Deflategate, the NFL just seems to, I guess, dragging their feet is the best term to use with what they're doing for finding information out about these things.
Kevin, what did you make of the Brady press conference?
I thought it was pretty uneventful overall. Nothing like surprised me other than the fact the league hasn't contacted him. That's the only thing that surprised me.
That was the big takeaway.
Was that my biggest takeaway?
That was the big takeaway.
Yeah, that was my biggest
takeaway.
The
NFL did not contact him yet. Right?
No, and I think that's a referendum on the league that we're 4 days later and they haven't even reached out to the guy who everyone is deeming to be the guy who would doctor the football.
And this is what the media does. Maybe the NFL was just kind of thinking that this was somewhat of a non-issue, just like Brady was Monday morning, and the media has certainly taken fire to the storm, and all of a sudden it's a nationally covered topic. We're taking your phone calls. Let us know what you thought about Tom Brady's press conference, 855-728-7500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Henry in Bloomfield. Hey, Henry. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Henry? Did you listen to Brady's press conference?
Yes, I did, and I was just curious. I may be wrong, but I haven't heard anyone mention about cold air contracting. It was very cold that night. When were the balls pressurized? And when the balls that were checked, were the balls checked from both teams or just New England's balls?
That's a great point.
When I get up in the morning, I start my car. My low-pressure air gauge comes on.
And
as soon as I drive for a few minutes, it goes off.
That's a great point, Henry. And actually, Sports Science, which is on ESPN, a few weeks or months ago, did a story about how cold air affects ball pressure. And they showed it if it's under 20 degrees, it'll affect the ball ball pressure at a certain time. Kevin, you were on the field at that point. What was the temperature at the start of the kickoff, and what do you think it was around halftime?
Oof, it was unseasonably warm, I would say. I would say
40 degrees, 45, 50.
Yeah, no, I would say 45 degrees a kick, and maybe halftime it might have been like, I don't know, 35 or so.
So the game started at what, 6:30?
Yeah, it didn't kick till like 6:50 because of the delay in the.
Okay, so maybe at the time of the check, when, you know, Brady said they do it about 2.5 hours before the game when he goes through the balls.
Yeah, at that point it was probably close to 55, to be honest. It was that,
so maybe it was 55, and then by the time the second half rolls around, it might have dropped 20 degrees.
Oh, yeah, easily. It was probably close to freezing by the time we got into the second half, which was way, way, way after sunset.
Brady did address the point that he did jokingly refer to Gronk spiking the football and that deflating the balls back a few years ago. When this came up in the press conference, Brady basically just said, you know, that was, you know, I don't really think the ball really deflates when Gronk spikes it. But, yes, I do like my balls a certain way. 12.5 is what the minimum is, and that's where I like it. 8.55, yeah, go on.
Bill, the other thing that I believe that, you know, I was kind of chatting with you about during the press conference,
yeah,
is that I'm right there on the sideline, and when that awkward 1 minute delay happened to start the second half after the kickoff, and they threw the ball out of the, you know, the ball that was kind of on the hash ready to go, they threw that out of play and brought in a new one finally. When Tom got the snap and, you know, proceeded to run the offense, you know, he didn't miss a beat. Like, he didn't bat an eyebrow. Nobody was asking what was going on. They just assumed that, you know, there's something with the clock or something with the officials or whatever. And he went right down the field, and they went right down the field and scored a touchdown on that drive. And I just, knowing him and how fired up he would get at officials for, like, either, you know, them missing a roughing the passer or missing, you know, a defensive PI on one of his guys that he's thrown to, like, if he felt the ball and was like, wow, this is really different, like, this isn't one of my balls, you know, that he prepped in the pregame or whatever, I think he would have immediately been like, you know, we need to stop the game and what's going on, you know? And he didn't. They just proceeded to play and go right down the field and score. So I believe him and take him at his word when he says that he felt that ball in the second half that was apparently up to code, whereas the first one wasn't in the first half. I believe him when he says he couldn't feel the difference, because I sure as heck couldn't feel the difference. So,
now, Kevin, I agree with everything you just said, except for the part that when you said you were talking to us during that press conference on Skype, you weren't really talking about Tom Brady. It's a press conference. You were saying, look at Tom. He looks so great in that pom-pom hat.
He does.
And I have the text here.
PatriotsProShop.com.
I have the text here to prove it. I can take a screenshot if I must.
No need to. PatriotsProShop.com. PatriotsProShop.com.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's jump back to the phone lines where John in Connecticut has been patiently waiting. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tom Brady, and he's got far more patience than I have. hey, listen, you know, all through this Deflategate thing, they've been talking about the science with the ball pressure.
Yep.
You know, changing with the ambient temperature. But nobody's mentioned the gauges. You can get various readings from different gauges. So if you have five gauges laid out and check the ball with all five gauges, chances are you can get a different reading with each gauge, you know, within a pound or two. And, you know, if the NFL really wants to get down on you know, the accuracy of the balls, they really should invest in some, you know, professional liquid gauges, something like the like motorcycle racers use, and car racers, you know, when they take a pound of air out and it really makes a critical difference. They have these killer gauges that are super accurate, and they're very, very sensitive. So, if they,
John, what is your things, John? What is your background, and how do you know so much about gauges?
Well, I was in the Air Force for 20 years. I worked on aircraft.
Okay.
So, if you service the tires on an airplane, you had to document the gauge number. Okay, and you had to put it in the maintenance forms. So if the quality assurance people came out to check to see if you aired the tire correctly,
right,
they could go back to the tool room and they could get the exact same gauge and check the tire with the exact same gauge that you used. So if they had their own gauge, you definitely have a different reading. So
Do we know that the NFL is using these high-tech gauges, or do we think they're just using some, you know, regular sports car?
I don't have a clue, but I would assume they probably use something you get at, you know, one of the sports stores.
Right. Kevin, any insight into that, Kev?
No, I honestly have no – I've never seen that process go through or I've never seen what they look like. And to be honest, Bill, to go back to what I said when we started the show, I have a really hard time believing that whether it was this officiating crew or other officiating crews in the past, you know, before games, that they stick a gauge in all 12 or 24 balls. I have a really hard time believing that.
John, thanks for the phone call, and of course, thank you for your service. 20 years in the military.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good night, guys.
Take it easy, John.
Take care. Kevin, you know, to be honest with you, I think you should just come out and say it was me. Just to take the pressure off Tom Brady, take the pressure off Coach Belichick. Say, I was a little bit nervous before the game.
Yeah, I've sort of thought about that.
I thought this would help the team. I am the deflator. Yeah.
I had that in my mind as actually when I was getting in my truck to come to work this morning. I was just kind of like, I should kind of jump in front of this bus here.
Now, there's two things that would probably happen.
Well, I'd get fired, no
one,
doubt.
One, you
that.
Get fired.
Yeah,
but
which you know,
you
there are worse things
local
that could happen.
You are a hero in New England.
That is true. I would not have to buy that's true. I would never have to buy a pop or a dinner.
That's
at the local pub. That's for sure.
You'd be it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
chicks would dig me.
What
you
do
know?
You value more here? What do you value more here, Kevin?
I'd be a rock star, Bill.
Be an absolute – you would probably be on Tom Brady's level in the New England
– Just confess that, Bill, before every game, you know, when I'm leaving the radio studio and I'm all geared up with my headset and everything, I just tape 5 needles on my fingers like Edward Scissorhands and just kind of – so I can do 5 balls at once, you know.
That
I
would
just,
be
– I mean, it's kind of the way that I roll, you know.
What, now, remember, was it – I think it was the Patriots. Wasn't the ex-con brushing off the field and he, like, made a move? For...
Yeah, I guess like the Dolphins in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ken, do you remember what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, that was like
the snowplow game. Yep.
Yeah, that is great.
And that was well before my time.
But... And that was a fan that did that. I mean, no coaches were involved. No coaches told him to do that. That was just –
He's just a good Samaritan. That's what I say. Good Samaritan.
Yeah, good Samaritan.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
I'm telling you, guys, listen.
I just think, Bill, I'm disappointed. I thought the league would have had something for us, but, you know, it's now dinner time in the East.
Well,
I'm just disappointed, Bill. I think the best thing, even for all the Patriot haters that, you know, don't like us and want to see us suffer and all that, I feel like for those people that care about the NFL and care about the product, like, let's get this investigation or whatever you want to call it wrapped up so that, you know, by the time the teams arrive in Arizona, you know, and we have media day and all that good stuff, like we can focus on what a great game this is going
to
be.
That's what I was just about to say, Kevin. It's really a shame. I've been at the last 3 media days. It is chaotic. It's a circus. It's not only do you get every sports reporter from pretty much the globe, every major media outlet, but you also get entertainment reporters and bloggers and people that really don't know sports, but they're there because they're covering it because it's the Super Bowl and it's the biggest sporting event, you know, on an annual basis. So you're going to get a mix of, you know, Tom Brady, what has Giselle been up to lately? And, do you like hanging out with her at her runway shows?
It's awful.
To let's talk about this Deflategate. What do you think about the footballs? So instead of talking about the game, like you said, and it's going to be an excellent game, and we're going to start talking about the game.
I mean, this is the game, Bill, that everyone wanted to see. Everyone
was
clamoring
for. It's going to be a little bit overshadowed.
Which is just stupid. I don't know, Bill. The most disheartening thing that's happened today has just been, you know, the fact that we haven't heard anything, but also if the league hasn't conducted any type of interview or conversation with Tom or Bill or anybody involved, like how far away are we from getting that now? And what other matter is more pressing, you know, than this one that you're dealing with that's preventing you from conducting that investigation?
Albert Breer, reporter, reached out to the NFL and asked why they haven't interviewed Tom Brady yet, and they declined to comment.
Oh, that doesn't shock me.
Of course.
They're too busy looking for some VHS tape that they did or didn't receive like 8 years ago that they can't confirm, but whatever. Fire me. Go ahead. I don't care. League's a joke.
This is what I related to.
Rules are a joke.
Two things. All right, so the Patriots were fined back in, 2007 for Spygate?
Yep.
Labeled cheaters by every non-Patriot fan, hater, whatever.
And by a lot of their own.
Yeah, of course. But in the minority.
Now, I agree.
Remember in, like, first or second grade, there was that kid that peed his pants in the class?
Oh, yeah. If pissing in your rest... pants was cool, I'd be Miles Davis.
There you go. For the rest of that kid's elementary school, maybe middle school, maybe even like the high school, he was the kid that peed his pants,
yeah, he was not Miles Davis.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Whether he did it once or five times. Now, sometimes the reputation just stays with you. Unfortunately for the Patriots, this is what has happened because of Spygate. The reputation... of, if this was any other franchise, it would be a complete non-issue. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the broadcast, Aaron Rodgers has come out and said, he told the broadcasters, whoever it was, Kevin thinks it was Nance and Sims. I think it was Collinsworth.
I'll try to find it.
Al Michaels. But he came out and said, I like the balls overinflated, and I like to push them beyond what the NFL allows. But that was not a big story. But unfortunately, because of the Patriots' reputation, it has become a much, much
crazy
topic.
And I think, Bill, that ending statement with Rodgers is, you know, I pushed the limits to the ball, and when the officials feel the ball and inspect those balls before the game, and they think, okay, there's no competitive advantage, these things are ready to go, then great. If they make me take air out of it, then fine. But it just kind of proves that the whole inspection process is probably flawed. It's very subjective. Some officials are probably like, yeah, that's fine. You know, no big deal. And other ones are like, no, we got to take some air out of this, you know?
Now, another thing is people are saying, oh, well, you got caught cheating. And if you didn't get caught cheating, then this would have just, you know, been a whole non-issue. It's kind of like when you get caught speeding, does that prevent you from speeding again? No, like if the speed limit is 50 miles an hour and you're driving 55 miles an hour, you might be driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, which is technically illegal, but you might not get pulled over.
Right.
But if you do get pulled over for going 55 in a 50, you're going to get a ticket. So it's like, I don't know. To me, this just, it's just such a,
blew
out the Colts. It wasn't even a game. It was a no contest here. So for that to be the major takeaway, it's just absurd. What do we got here, Kevin?
Handed it off with his right hand. Went to Lacy for one. We talked to Rodgers about how do you like your footballs? Because, you know, you can rub them up before the game. This is
right.
You really kind of created for everybody else in this league.
I don't know if I did,
good
because
memory,
the quarterbacks
Kev.
Got tired of him complaining.
This
but
is
he
when
said
we
something
played
was unique. I like to push the limit to how much air we can put in the football, even go over what they allow you to do and see if the officials take air out of it, because he thinks it's easier for him to grip. He likes them tight. Of course, he's got very big hands, and you can tell that by watching him play.
Yeah, and that was the game when we played him this season.
Right, so that was Aaron Rodgers admitting, good memory, Phil Sims, admitting to Phil Sims and Jim Nance that he likes the ball overinflated. He likes to push it beyond the limit of what the NFL allows.
Phil
if
Sims,
they take the air out, then so be it.
Yeah,
but he's going to do the football the way he likes to do the football.
Now,
no one's talking about Aaron Rodgers doing this, but because the Patriots had the reputation, it's a media crap storm.
Yeah, and even Sims alluding to the fact that, you know, if is the big word, if the officials, you know, take air out or feel the need to, then fine. But it's not always if, you know, or it always isn't, you know, the case. Maybe some officials don't notice, you know?
Right.
And that leads me to the still kind of harping on that belief that, you know, I have a really hard time that Walt Anderson or any official is going to sit there and stick a gauge in 12 or 24 footballs before a game.
I mean, it might not be Walt Anderson. It might be one of the other officials. That
whoever it may be. I know that I heard on local talk radio this morning driving in, I heard a couple of retired college officials that were interviewed about this, and they said that, you know, they're technically supposed to stick the gauges into even the college balls to make sure that they're at a certain PSI, but very rarely did they ever bother doing it.
It's
for what it's worth.
All right, what do you say we get off this topic of Deflategate? I'm sick of it already. I really hope it doesn't continue into next week as much as it is now. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some reporters asking questions, but not at this level.
I just have less hope of that now, Bill, after that Brady interview, you know? Because, I mean, even as a Patriot fan, I want, if the league's going to do an investigation, which they've repeatedly said is what's going on, how could you want, as, you know, a fan that is wondering what's going on, how could you want an investigation to not include some type of testimony or input from Brady or Belichick, right?
Of course. Yeah.
So it's like, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? You know, like, let's go. Get the show on the road.
Do we want to take a break, or do we want to just go into some other topics?
Let's just keep moving on.
All right. So a couple of some news around the NFL. Marshawn Lynch was fined $20,000.
Jesus.
For his touchdown celebration when he gestured toward his groin area. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, he is.
His balls were fully inflated.
A little Michael Jackson action for you there.
There you go. He did the MJ.
He was just, yeah.
Now, Lynch has been fined a lot this year, mostly because he doesn't talk to the media. He was fined last year during the Super Bowl. I was looking for him all over Media Day. He only spent about 10 seconds out there.
Shocking he didn't want to talk to Bill Enright.
I know. I mean, he talked to Deion Sanders. I thought he for sure talked to me. That was one of course, when he came out with one of my favorite phrases, about that action, boss.
All about that action, boss.
Right. So I'm assuming that more fines will be coming in the direction of Marshawn Lynch in the next week, especially if he doesn't come out for more than 20 seconds is what he did last year on Media Day.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning plans on coming back as long as he passes his physical. That is good news if you're a Bronco fan. Good news if you like drafting any of the Broncos in your fantasy football leagues. What do you guys think? Will this help convince Demaryius Thomas and maybe Julius Thomas to take a hometown discount instead of seeking big money in free agency?
I think that if Demaryius and or Julius Thomas decide to take a hometown discount, I think that's pretty stupid on their part, just because you're not getting a lot of time out of Peyton Manning after that. So if Demaryius Thomas signs a 5-year contract and takes a discount and Peyton Manning only plays 1 year, nothing comes of it, I don't think he's want to play with Brock Osweiler, whoever they're going to draft as their next quarterback for the next 4 years and try to move on from there. So I don't think it's a good idea. Will they do it? Who knows? But I don't think they should.
The NFL Pro Bowl is this weekend, and Chris Carter and Michael Irvin are this year's captains. Of course, the new Pro Bowl format is either team captain or team coach can take any player regardless of conference. The first two picks were quarterbacks. Andrew Luck went to team Carter. Tony Romo, such a homer, took Tony Romo.
Of course.
Michael Irvin took Tony Romo. AJ Green went to Carter. Odell Beckham went to Irvin. Jamal Charles to Carter, Tyron Smith to Michael Irvin as two Cowboys in the top six picks. Patrick Peterson, where the game is being played, it's in Arizona this year, went to Chris Carter. Luke Kuechly were the next two defensive guys off the board, and then Mario Williams and Cameron Wake. So of the first 10 picks, six of them were offensive players. Five of them were skill position. Just judging off those teams, let's go with Andrew Luck, A.J. Green, Tony Romo, or Odell Beckham. Who would you rather have?
Oh, man, that's – the way Odell Beckham played this year, it's hard to argue against him. Tony Romo had a good season, but Andrew Luck, obviously, better quarterback than Tony Romo. A lot more promise, I think, a lot more chance to become an elite Hall of Fame-type player. Look, A.J. Green's no slouch either compared to, you know, ODB. A.J. Green's been doing this for years now, putting it up consistently. No, he's hurt this year, but if he's not hurt this year, he's doing the same thing he's doing every year. So I'm going to say the Andrew Luck, A.J. Green combo would be what I would want.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I think I'm with you there. Now, Chris Carter took Jamal Charles as the number 5 pick. Michael Irvin didn't take a running back until the 30. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That's Chris Carter again. The 37th pick was Justin Forsett. I'm trying to see when Michael Irvin took a running back, and the first one on Ingram on Irvin's team was Mark Ingram at pick 40, and then a few picks later, he picked C.J. Anderson. So Michael Irvin did a great job of waiting on running back, something that we don't suggest in fantasy football, but it certainly worked out for him in the Pro Bowl. Pick 40 and pick 42, C.J. Anderson and Mark Ingram. Chris Carter spent a top 5 pick on Jamal Charles. So that's an interesting take there on the running back spot.
Yeah, well, again, anyway, like they said, this is fantasy football for real is the tagline they're using for the Pro Bowl now. And if this is fantasy football for real, then obviously Team Irvin definitely got a steal with where he got those two running backs.
Wait, where did he take DeMarco Murray? Doesn't say. He has Tony Romo. He has Tony Romo, he has Tyron Smith, and he has DeMarco Murray. Now, I see that DeMarco Murray is the team captain, but he doesn't say where he picked him.
Right.
So I guess maybe, were those picks before the actual draft started? They announced their team captains first?
It looks that way if you go through all the picks. It looks like Team Irvin went DeMarco Murray, Joe Hayden.
Yeah,
and
team captains.
Yeah, Chris Carter went J.J. Watt and right. Mr. Antonio Brown.
Okay. So I stand corrected about that no running back until the 40th pick thing.
Well, yeah, I guess. It's a captain, so if we can treat it a little bit differently if you want. But if you take that out of the mix, yeah, that's, again, still getting C.J. Anderson with the 40th pick or whatever.
Nice.
That is a steal.
Now, there is no football this weekend, of course. The Super Bowl is not until February 1st. The Pro Bowl will be on Sunday. Will you watch the Pro Bowl Sunday, January 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Nope.
Kevin, will you watch the Pro Bowl?
Negative.
Neither will I.
Not
I don't think
chance.
I've watched the Pro
I'll
Bowl
be packing,
in five
boys.
Years.
I think the last time I remember watching a Pro Bowl was when Sean Taylor put a hit on a punter, and that was wonderful. I remember seeing that, and I was like, this is great. Blasted a punter in the Pro Bowl. So unnecessary. So wonderful. So I don't know when that happened, but that's the last Pro Bowl memory I can even recall.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I even remember that.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Google it. It was great.
Yeah, I have
something tells
Pro Bowl
me if you Google
years.
Sean Taylor, that's not the first thing that pops up.
Probably not.
All right, so that is kind of some news and notes from around the league.
Bill,
again,
are you coming?
Yeah.
Have we established that yet? It's getting kind of late
waiting.
In the game here, Bill.
I was kind of waiting until after the show to talk about it.
Well, you got to tell
the
people.
At the end of the show,
bro.
I wanted to do it. All right, we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it at the end of the show.
I mean, since you brought it up, I don't know yet, Kev. I have not made a decision.
It's up to you. I just the anticipation has been building. You know, trying to see if my bald brother in arms is coming out.
I haven't made a decision. I just got the email though from the NFL Media to download the media app,
which is what's that supposed to do for you?
It just gives me all the information. So right now I'm looking at the information, the press, where the Super Bowl Media Center is, the
gotcha.
Media hotels.
That's a good idea for them to put all that new in an app. Maybe that's
awesome.
What they were busy working on that, not investigating the footballs.
Maybe
I'll have to cut them a little slack.
The Super Bowl team hotels, where the team practices, any kind of tech information, a day by day schedule. So let's say I arrived on Tuesday the 27th.
Okay.
9 o'clock, NFL play 60. 10:30, media day. New England Patriots are up first at 10:30.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know that. That's Tuesday.
Wow,
that's
back to back.
10:30
to 11:30, and then 11. Oh, okay. There's a little break. So, all right, so I'm sorry. 10:30 to 11:30 is the New England Patriot media day. There's a break until 12:15, and then that's when 12:15 to 1:15 is when the Seattle Seahawks will take the field. NBC Sports Group has a press conference at 3 o'clock. The NFL Experience opens up at 3. NFL Flag Championships at 3 o'clock. Super Bowl Business Leadership Conference is at 5 o'clock. Arizona Host Committee Super Bowl Media Party is at 7 o'clock, and I've been to that party the last 3 years, and it is, other than, like, the Playboy Party and the Maxim Leather and Laces Party, like, other than those parties you have to pay, like, $1,000 to get into, this media party is one of the best parties I've ever been to.
That's awesome.
Free nice. Food, open bar.
Stop
last
at free food,
year
I'm
in
good.
New York, yeah. Last year in New York, they had over 40 restaurants bring their best one item.
Wow.
So, Cat's Deli in New York had a pastrami sandwich. An Italian restaurant, Calandra's here in New Jersey, had their eggplant rollatini. The Brooklyn Fish Market had lobster rolls.
Forget about it.
Dude, it was the best food I've had in a long time.
So this party is not for Fugazis then?
Is a legit party. I mean, there's some heavy hitter, all medias, it's free. There was free bowling last year, free everything. Todd and I went wild. One of my fraternity brothers snuck in. We did, like, remember when you were in college and you did, like, a pass back with your ID?
Yes.
Yeah, we did that. One of my fraternity brothers snuck in. My good friend that does radio down in Houston, he was there. We just had an incredible time. It was so much fun. The Jets cheerleaders were there. I know some of them because my friends date some of them. It was just an all-out blast. Really good time. There was bowling. it was awesome. The where was it in New Orleans? In New Orleans, it was, geez. My
was it
so
like clothing optional in New Orleans?
My memory is so shot. It really is.
You got to figure, man. If I'm getting free food from an NFL party, from a Super Bowl party, New York had to be the place to be for that, man. That, they had the best food in the world.
The melting pot.
I forget where it was in New Orleans. In Indianapolis, though, it was at the Motor Speedway, the Indy 500.
Yeah, that's where we had our team party. Yeah,
it was awesome. I kissed the brick.
Yep.
They had these beer mugs made of ice.
Glass. Ice. I was gonna say, yeah.
Nice.
You had to drink it with a glove.
Yeah, no, we had our team party there, Bill. It was one of the coolest things ever. I think we had it on like Thursday night.
I sat down with Mad Dog Russo for about 20 minutes, just him and I, and we had fried shrimp. And he just kept, hey, Bill, you want more fried shrimp? You want more fried shrimp? And we had, I'm telling you, I must have had 50 pieces of fried shrimp that night.
It's good eating.
It was just, no one was bothering us. It was just the two of us sitting down at the table eating fried shrimp. It was great.
It's good, clean living.
Beer in an ice mug.
Yep.
You had to drink it with a cup. The
only thing that was weird, those gloves made your hands smell funny. I didn't like it.
Well, that's because probably people were sweating.
But I was also, you know, who smells their own hand, but my hands stunk afterwards.
Well, mine was my party was on Tuesday. I don't know when your party was.
Ours was Thursday.
Oh, see, that's why.
Ooh,
yeah, my
that's 2 days
yeah,
worth of
glove. Yeah, probably at Bill's glove.
My goodness.
And that sounds very dirty, but I wouldn't use.
Where the heck was the media party last year, 2 years ago in New Orleans? My memory is so shot.
Was it on, like, Bourbon Street or something? Like right down there with the beads and the topless women.
I just remember eating a lot of jambalaya and it being awesome.
I don't know if I'd like jambalaya. I feel like that would keep me up all night.
Yeah, it's not for me, but.
No, it has a nice spice to it. Rice, it's really good.
Bill was whistling Dixie.
Now, you hear all those great stories. You hear how excited I was about the NFL, the Super Bowl, the last
Yeah, why
years.
Why are you not excited
okay.
now?
On the flip side of that, it's a lot of work for me. It's all on my own. Did you hear how you know in South Park when all the parents and the adults like they when they're protesting something it's like gobble 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 gobble.
Yeah,
that's what the press conferences are like. Like that Brady press conference. The Brady press conference. That's how it was like. And the media day, it's exhausting because you have to. And I don't mean to come across like
these are first world problems.
So hard, doing their job. It's not. It's not difficult. It's a lot of fun, but it is exhausting trying to fight your way and giving people dirty looks. And if I know that I'm next in line to ask her a question and someone else jumps in front of me, I get like I want to hit that person with my microphone. I can't help it, but that's just the way I get. Now.
You got to bring me with you to keep you calm, Bill, because you're going to get yourself in trouble if you got a microphone and someone jumping in front of you. It's going to be over.
Last year's media day, I think it was a mess. It was at a basketball. It was at where the New Jersey Nets used
that's
to play.
That's what this year is going to be. I'm hearing.
And then is it really?
Yeah, it's not going to be at the field.
See, I don't even want to go now that
the Suns.
Yeah, I think it's
going to
be
yeah.
like an arena. Yeah.
Because last year when they had at the basketball in the hockey arena at the Prudential Center in New Jersey where the Devils play now, it was so cramped because it was small.
When they had
it the last 2 years in Indianapolis, it was at the Dome. When they had it in New Orleans, it was at the Dome. So if they're gonna have, yeah, you're right, Kev, U.S. Airways Center.
That's weird. I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense, I guess, in New York because it's cold outside. You know, maybe they want to keep you inside. But if you're in a warm weather place like Arizona, what the hell's the point of putting it inside?
I don't want to be in there like having pit stains, you know, if it's all hot outside.
You know what? It was just too cramped last year at the arena. Instead of being on the field, when all the players that didn't have the podiums, you can walk up to them. It was real casual, nice and easy to talk to people. They were just walking around the field like Danny Woodhead. Was great to talk to. He was just walking around. People, you go up to him, ask him a question, you know, BS with him a little bit about the game. But last year, it was so cramped. I felt like cattle, and I get a lot of anxiety when people are bumping into me, and I got to move my equipment, and I got a microphone, and some lady's yelling at me because I can't ask Regis Philbin a question. And it's a frustrating experience instead of being simple and just easy and easy going, but instead it's like a it's like a free-for-all to just rush and ask everyone a question. And you can't get near Tom Brady. There's 150 people around him. You can't get near Coach Belichick. There's 200 people around him. Richard Sherman, the same situation. Marshawn Lynch isn't even out there. It's tough.
Yeah, I believe it. It's just, I agree with you, man. If you got that many people, a lot of crowds, it's just some, it's, you know, you're doing your job. You got to get some quotes and whatnot, but fighting through all those people for potentially one or two good quotes when you're working for, what, 16, 18 hours that day, it's, I don't know if it's worth it.
And then I got to go back and edit the video.
Right.
And edit,
right.
And edit everything and take all the, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And it's a lot of work all week, but it's so worth it because I know everyone at Football Nation and FF Champs, you know, likes it and enjoys it. But we'll see. Our good friend Kevin, you may remember him, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. He'll probably be out there
How
with
could
me.
I forget?
We'll probably share a hotel room. I mean, we have a great setup. We're in the media hotel. Indianapolis was the best. All the media was in one hotel. They had two awesome bars in the lobby. I mean, I was having drinks next to Michelle Beadle and Chris Berman. It was great.
Nice.
New Orleans was way too much of a party. Way too much of a party. And I didn't even like the city that much. I loved the food. Berman Street, not my situation. Again, overpacked with people, people bumping into me, getting very frustrated. I don't like that scene. New York, it was like in my backyard. You know, I'm there every weekend. So that was nothing special for me. Arizona, I mean, listen, it's supposed to be 10 degrees where I am next, where I live next week. Arizona, it's supposed to be 75, 80 degrees. I can certainly go for a change of weather.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But again, it's Thursday, and I don't even know if I'm going or not. So it's like very, it's just a stressful situation that I don't know if I feel like dealing with this year.
Yeah, if you're not going to be 100% into it, I would say don't go because you're going to regret it, man. I mean, obviously, like you said, there's a lot of positives, but, you know, those bad points you brought up, if you're not 100% into it at the time, that's what's going to accentuate in your mind, and that's what's going to stick, and you're going to be like, I'm at this party, but tomorrow I got to go deal with all these people and whatnot, like you said, so.
Now, Kevin, you try to convince me here. I mean, how much time are you going to get to hang out? Are we going to be able to take in the town, or what's the situation?
I'll have time. I just don't know where we'll be staying in relation to, like, where you would be staying, Bill.
Well,
that's something I have to get a lay of the land
NFL
once I get
media
down
Super Bowl app.
What's that?
I can look that up on my handy-dandy
app. But I can't just read to you where we're staying, you know?
Why not? It's public information where the team holds.
Yeah, I'm just not going to.
Kevin, that's not a secret.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want anything to do with it.
Okay. Well, your
I'm not
hotel.
Touching that one.
All right. I'm telling you, it's public information, but that's fine. I won't say it if you don't want me to.
No,
but your
no,
hotel
please
is
don't.
Not that far away from my hotel.
Oh, then I'm made in the shade. Let's do it. I'll have plenty of time at night.
Yeah?
No, I'll be there Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I'll be there all week.
You're getting in on Monday?
Getting in on Monday in radio, and my primary responsibility will be radio, will be happening even earlier in the day because of the time change.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be done kind of sooner and have more time at night.
I mean, can I come hang out and watch you guys do the broadcast during the day if I have some free time?
We could potentially ask Fred. You'd need a credential to get in the team hotel, like a special one. I don't know if they'd let you in or tase you or how that would work.
I have
to get some razors.
I have a media credential.
No. The media doesn't work. It's got to be like we're getting special credentials as like team staff, and they won't let you even like on the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's real. It's really tight.
Yeah,
like
but
I tried to bring my own family into the hotel in Indy, and they didn't even get past the bellhop stand out in front of the hotel. Like not even in the lobby, but in like where you pull your car in.
But they have press conferences at the media hotel.
Yeah, they'll have a side room.
You'll
enter and exit through that, and it won't take you through the lobby or any of the guts of the hotel. And that's what the way it was in Indy. Like you couldn't just walk up to the lobby; you had to go in and out if you were media. Like one door in, one door out, and that was it. But yeah, I'm sure we could figure something out with the help of Freddie. He can get us anything we need.
I mean, Fred's my guy. He's got
Fred's our guy. And if we say that you're coming on to do a quick appearance or whatever, I don't see why that would not be okay.
Well, listen.
In terms of me and you time, quality, you know, bald brother time, we would definitely have time at night.
We'd have a lot of fun.
I think we would have fun.
And this is, like I said, this would be my fourth year going, and I know a lot of people that can pull a lot of strings for us, and Kerry certainly knows.
Well, Kerry knows everybody. Yeah, Kerry knows everybody.
All right, so enough about my trip to the Super Bowl. I'll let everyone know if I'm going on Twitter. I'll make an announcement. Probably, like, from my plane with, like, a smiley face or an upside-down face. I don't know which one. Let's get into the Super Bowl. It's only 20. We only got 20 minutes away. 20 minutes to the final of the show. We spent a lot of time on Deflategate. In my mind, unfortunately, because I think it's taking away from this great game. Seattle Seahawks, New England Patriots. The Seahawks look to become the first team to repeat since the Pats did it in the early 2000s. 10 days away from Super Bowl 49. We have some really good stats, really interesting storylines, but let's just start from the basics. The last time these two teams met, it was October 14th, 2012. The Seahawks' last-second victory, 24-23. Kevin, I remember you saying a couple weeks ago that that game left a bad taste in your mouth about how the Seahawks handled themselves.
It's still sticking in my craw, Bill, whatever a craw is. Something's sticking in it. It's
now,
been there for like
I could argue
now.
That after that game, that was almost like the birth.
It was.
Of the Legion of Boom.
It really was. That was their, like, almost coming out party. They beat an elite team. They started running their mouths, and it hasn't stopped since.
And it really kind of started with Richard Sherman, and this is almost the birth of trash talking via social media, especially on Twitter.
Yeah.
Came out with that "You mad, bro?" meme.
You mad, bro?
With the picture of him and Tom Brady. I mean, this was really a major moment in the history of how players will trash talk with each other for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, with all the social media that we have nowadays, obviously it's kind of what the norm is now. But yeah, like you said, Richard Sherman, he started this a couple of years ago, and it's obviously not going to stop now.
So now in that game, again, it was a last second victory. Kevin, I remember you saying that you didn't like the way the Seahawks handled themselves. They haven't gotten any better. They're still the same loud
shtick.
Mouth, confident. Some people say it's cocky. Some people say it's cocky. Some people say it's confident. I like it. I like people that trash talk. I like people that are loud and sometimes obnoxious, because I think if you can back it up, which the Seahawks certainly do, if you can back it up, you're free to carry yourself any way that you want. They're in the Super Bowl for the second straight year. The Pats certainly have dominated the AFC. First time they're in the Super Bowl since, what, 2011, right?
Yeah.
So both of these teams, certainly a lot of success over the last couple of years. When you look at the Seahawks offense and you look at the Pats offense, there's really no discussing which one is better. Pats certainly score more points per game, right?
Not even close, yeah. The Patriots just have players at every position that can contribute and do a lot of things, whereas Seattle, look, Russell Wilson is coming to his own. He's shown as a third-round pick, as a young quarterback in the league, that he can take charge and run a team, and that's great to see. So they got a great quarterback in Seattle. They got a great running back in Marshawn Lynch, but outside of that, that wide receiver and tight end situation is just very, very poor.
You look at how the Packers lost the game against the Seahawks last week. Do you think that game kind of showed some weaknesses? Let Bill Belichick know, hey, look, you know, we can take advantage of these certain situations when going up against the Seattle defense.
I think it definitely showed some things, but what it also shows is that if the Seattle Seahawks do have a brain fart or do something stupid on offense, that defense is going to clamp down and they're not going to give up, you know, more than an inch if they don't have to. So as much as it showed that they do have some weaknesses, Russell Wilson's not going to turn the ball over four times again. That's not going to happen this week. He's not that kind of quarterback to be turning the ball over like that. He's usually smarter, and I think he's going to be one person out there watching a lot of film, thinking to himself, I'm not going to do that again. He's going to get better. So while the Patriots have a little bit of a blueprint to maybe rattle him a little bit, it's going to be tough to get him to do what he did again.
Kevin, do you think that the Patriots have anyone on defense to contain Russell Wilson? I mean, the guy had over 800 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns this season.
I mean, I think he's more of a threat to the Patriots with his legs than he is his arm. And that's not a knock on his throwing ability necessarily. But I think he's more dangerous and poses more of a threat when he breaks contain and is able to scramble and prolong plays. And I think that also has to do with the fact that I don't have a ton of admiration for the weapons Seattle has in the passing game. I think they're pretty pedestrian. So when I look at it, if you're asking me if athletically the Patriots have anybody to spy him, I would say Jamie Collins would probably be a pretty good candidate for that. I don't think that, you know, I think Marshawn Lynch can definitely catch the ball out of the backfield and possesses some sort of a threat. We saw him run a couple wheel routes against the Packers. I don't think he's going to, like, necessarily burn anybody with ridiculous speed. That's not really his style. A guy like Dante Hightower might be able to even cover him out in the flat. Mm-hmm. I think Collins is definitely the more athletic and definitely the burner who could run Russell Wilson down. And I think it also might hurt Seattle. What's their tight end's name? The kid, 82? The nice hair.
Luke Wilson, yeah.
He's definitely somebody that demands a little bit of respect. He can certainly catch the ball when called upon. I wouldn't consider him an athletic freak by any means. I wouldn't put him anywhere near the category of a Julius Thomas or Rob Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham. But I don't think that I think that he could be covered by a safety, you know, like a Devin McCourty or somebody like that. So I think that Collins might be, you know, when they're scheming, might be part of his responsibility might be to keep one eye on Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is 10-0 versus Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. That's a stat we brought up last week.
Unreal.
He was 9-0 going up against Aaron Rodgers, who was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And of course, since Green Bay lost that game, Seattle advanced. Russell Wilson now 10-0, very impressive, versus Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, 1-0. Against Tom Brady. The Seattle Seahawks are on entered the playoffs on a 6-game winning streak. The last team to win the Super Bowl with a streak of 5 games or more going into the playoffs, 2003 Patriots, who were on a 12-game winning streak heading into that postseason. And then final one more stat, Seattle is entering the Super Bowl for the second straight year with the league's best defense. First in points per game, first in yards per game, third in rushing yards per game, and first in passing yards per game. They do not let up a lot of points, and they do not let up a lot of passing yards. So that Legion of Boom certainly getting the job done with a lot of help from that defensive line and their front seven.
I'll put it this way, Bill. I don't think Seattle can win the game relying on their passing attack. I think they're going to need to run the ball pretty effectively to win the game. And with that said, I think the Patriots will focus on trying to neutralize Marshawn Lynch, and I think they'll try to make Russell Wilson beat him by throwing it. And if I were Bill, that's what I would kind of lean my hat or hang my hat on.
Speaking of Marshawn Lynch, he had an absolute monster year. More than 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns for the fourth consecutive season. Led the NFL with 17 touchdowns. He had 157 yards and a touchdown last week against the Green Bay Packers. Beast mode certainly should be a major factor for the Seattle offense during Super Bowl 49.
Like Evan just said, he has to be a major factor, because if he's not, then the Seattle passing game has no chance to just beat the Patriots straight up for throwing the ball. They can't do it.
I'm with Ian. I think if you turn them into a one-dimensional team and you make Russell Wilson try to get, you know, drop back and throw it 40 times, I don't think they can play that type of game.
That's not their style, exactly. They're a pound the ball type team. They're going to run it with Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson, like you said, he's got some wheels. He can get around. He can move. But if the Patriots can contain Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch and keep them from running all over them, it's not going to be pretty.
That's a big if, Ant. The Patriots have struggled against those big physical backs. They've struggled with, you know, tackling for large stretches of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They did a pretty good job on a guy like Eddie Lacy, who gave the Seahawks certainly a fits last week, running through tackles.
Yep.
That gives me a little hope that the Patriots might be able to be moderately successful on the ground with LeGarrette Blount, because he's got a similar running style to Eddie Lacy. He's not Eddie Lacy, but he runs the same way. He seeks contact, and he's very tough to bring down. He takes more than one guy to get him on the ground usually. But I think as much as we talk about Seattle, you know, needing to be able to run the ball to try to kind of set up their pass game and stay balanced and keep the Patriots honest and not load the box with 8 or 9 guys, I think New England, if they can't run the ball, Bill and Ant, like they couldn't do against Baltimore, I think they've shown that if you take the run away, they're not dead in the water. They can still throw it and beat you. You know, I expect the Patriots to try to run and keep Seattle honest with the running game. But I wouldn't be shocked that if after a quarter, maybe 2 or 3 drives, you're seeing something in the neighborhood of, you know, 6 to 8 carries and only averaging 1 or 2 a carry, I wouldn't be shocked to see him spread them wide and really just start throwing the ball all over the place.
Couple more stats on the Seahawks here. Russell Wilson has the best record in the first 3 years of his career. He's 36-12, and he joins Joe Flacco as the only quarterback in NFL history to start and win a playoff game in each of his first 3 seasons. Here's one about Coach Carroll. He is looking to become only the 7th head coach to lead his team to consecutive Super Bowl titles. Of course, Bill Belichick is on that list. Vince Lombardi, Don Shula, Chuck Knoll, Jimmy Johnson, and Mike Shanahan are the other quarterbacks, are the other head coaches who brought their teams to back-to-back Super Bowls. Over
nice
to
company.
The New England Patriots. We've talked about this team all year long as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. Kevin, do you think this team as a unit, as a squad, offense, defense, special teams, do you think it is up there with the Super Bowl champion rosters that the Patriots had together?
I certainly do. I think it's better than the roster, certainly better, not that we were champions, but better than the one we had in Indy. I don't think it's quite as good as the one that they had in 07, 08 when they lost to the Giants in the desert. I think that offense was just like video game offense, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that this team compares more with that 2003, 2004, those back-to-back championship teams. You know, I think they're balanced or more balanced like those 03, 04 teams were. And, you know, like we said going into the playoffs, or like I said, it hasn't proven true yet. I mean, not that it's not true, but they haven't been put in this situation yet. But I will say, if the Super Bowl turns out to be one of these games that the Seahawks like playing in, like these 20-16, 20-14, 17-14 games, and a lot of the Seahawks games are like that. You see a lot of funky scores, like 19 to whatever, you know. I think the Patriots are well-equipped this year to win a game like that, whereas the last 10 years they haven't been. So that's the big difference for me.
Anthony, you know, you think about the NFL and how much they have geared toward offense, geared toward passing. They want high scores. If you look at the last couple of Super Bowls, there really hasn't been any major, major points scored. Now, the Seattle Seahawks scored 43 points last year against the Denver Broncos.
Right.
That was a little bit of an anomaly. That
exactly.
game was a blowout. Ravens and 49ers, that was really the highest scoring Super Bowl we've had in a while, 34-31.
Yeah, you're 100% right. We really don't get a lot of those games. And, you know, as much as the NFL and us as fans love to see offense, love to see the team score go back and forth, it just goes to show you that you have to have a great defense to win a Super Bowl, to get to a Super Bowl. Look, the Patriots can score points. The Seahawks have proved this year they can score points, but they've also proved they can prevent teams from scoring points. And that's a huge factor. You have to have a great defense, if not a very good defense, to win a Super Bowl.
Now, when you think about the Patriots and you think about their chances against Seattle, Kevin was saying that this team does have what it takes to win those tight games, 17-14, 20-17, whatever have you. Does this Patriot team kind of make you think, well, this is really the last chance for the Brady and for the Belichick era? Because they are the most quarterback and coaching playoff victories in the NFL history, that they have all the postseason records for the most part.
Yep.
Do you think this is really the last chance here?
I don't know. I as long as Belichick and Brady are still playing for the New England Patriots, they've proved time and time again that they can plug and play players everywhere else on that team virtually and still be successful. So if Brady and Belichick both come back and they're both committed to going and trying to win another Super Bowl, there's no reason in my mind that says they don't have a chance to do it.
Listen, they certainly will have a chance in the future. They've had a chance over the last, you know, 10 years. They've gotten to, what, 6 or 7 AFC championship games. But it is so hard, so difficult to get to the big game. They did it in 2007. They did it in 2011. They lost those games. They got to the AFC Championship last year. They lost that game. You have a great regular season. You have a great playoff run. You lose in the AFC Championship. Do you think Coach Belichick takes that as a disappointment? You lose in the AFC Championship game, you don't get to the Super Bowl. Is that a disappointing season?
I think when you're going to a Super Bowl, you know, almost, you know, every other year when you're Tom Brady, you've been playing for 14 years and you're going to your 6th Super Bowl, I think, a team like that, a coach like Belichick, a guy like Brady, who just want to win no matter what. They're out there every day. They're putting themselves on the line. They're putting in extra hours, watching extra film. Yeah, to them, that has to be considered a disappointment to not at least get to the Super Bowl. But has there ever really been a time where a team makes, 12 out of 15 championship games? I mean, that's unreal. And if you're a fan of the team, you recognize that that's something special, even though you're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. I don't care how good you are. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be teams gunning for you. And the New England Patriots are that team. They've been great for the past, like we said, 12, 14, 15 years. Teams, if a team plays the Patriots, that's the game they're circling on their schedule. So they're great, and to them, yeah, probably a failure, but to other people, to fans of that team, you get to an AFC championship game, I think that's a great accomplishment.
Tom Brady has 7 postseason games with 3 or more touchdowns, which is the second most in postseason history. Yeah. Joe Montana has 9 games, 9 playoff games with 3 touchdowns. So Brady, just a few more 3 touchdown games away from passing Joe Montana, who his childhood idol. I think he already has the most postseason touchdowns. He passed Montana last week. Coach Belichick will become the third head coach to go up against his predecessor in the Super Bowl. That's a pretty good stat. Remember, before Belichick got to the Patriots,
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he was with them.
Yeah, I remember Pete Carroll before that, with a little Drew Bledsoe action back in the day before he left to go to, I think he went to USC right after that. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But, Pete Carroll on the Patriots sideline, man, that's old school.
Tom Brady has the NFL record for most postseason starts by a quarterback. He has 28 of them.
Yeah.
20 postseason wins, that's a record. And 49 touchdown passes, that's a record.
Jeez. If you're a fan of this team, if you love this team, how can you say anything Tom Brady does in the postseason is a failure if they don't win a Super Bowl? I mean, this guy has done it year after year, and to break records like that, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Coach Belichick took over the team in 2000. New England has a record of 176 wins, 65 losses. He is the all-time winningest head coach in NFL postseason history. 21 victories in the NFL playoffs, including the Super Bowl. One more than the great Tom Landry from the Dallas Cowboys.
And that's unbelievable considering the fact that you got more teams in the league now. You got a lot more parity in the league now. You got a free agency. Guys can up and leave and go for more money, go to a different team, what have you. I mean, the fact that Belichick has done this consistently with all the ups and downs that the NFL has now compared to when Tom Landry is coaching is just an absolute testament to how good of a coach he is.
Super Bowl 49, Super Bowl XLIX.
XLIX.
Is 10 days away. Glendale, Arizona. Of course, Patriot fans sorrowfully remember that loss in Glendale against the Giants back in 2007. Do you think that comes into play at all, that you're not going to a certain stadium? I think it's a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah, I don't think that really has anything to do with it. I mean, you have a totally different team, basically, for the New England Patriots coming into this game compared to what they had last time they were playing in Glendale in 2007. So that's not going to factor in at all. They're going to be focused on breaking apart that defense of Seattle. That's what they got to focus on, is making sure they can put up some points on this great defense, one of the best defenses we've seen in a long, long time.
Kevin, how about you? Do you think the fact that they lost in a Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, comes into play at all in this game?
No, I think if anything, it might be a little motivation, but I don't think it really affects them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little added motivation, because a lot of people in the national media said that when they lost to the Giants in that Super Bowl, the desert, the dynasty died in the desert and all this stuff, and they're back, and it's many, many, many years. It's not like next year, and they're still here making it to Super Bowls with the same coach and the same quarterback. So it is what it is.
Well, listen, we've said it all. We had Tom Brady's press conference about Deflategate. We analyzed his press conference. We talked about our opinions about Deflategate. We went through the matchup of Super Bowl 49, New England Patriots versus the Seattle Seahawks. It is time to end the show. Now, we've been with you guys since training camp, since the preseason. Every week during the regular season, we've been here throughout the playoffs. It is time to say goodbye for the 2014-2015 season.
Going to start tearing up, Bill.
We had a terrific season. taking everyone's phone calls, answering your emails, helping everyone win a fantasy football championship, and, of course, winning some money on DraftKings. We want to thank everyone who tuned in, called in, emailed in, tweeted in, listened to us on demand. The show is a lot of fun to do. We love doing it. And that's because all of our members at FF Champs and, of course, our great listeners from around the globe on Patriots.com, they help make it awesome. I want to thank Kevin Collins. I want to thank everyone from Patriots.com. Fred Kirsch, of course, for having us back for another great season. Anthony Grace, first year with the program, did a fantastic job. Loved having him on the air with me for 2 hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But, Kevin, you know, you and I, we go back a long time. It is always great to work with you as well.
Yeah, it's another year of fun nonsense. And now we've christened Ant, so he'll be he'll know what to expect in year two.
I'll be ready, man. I loved it. I thank you guys for the opportunity. I love working with you guys.
Yeah, you're right. You should thank us for welcoming
me. Damn right I am. Hey, listen, man. I had a great time. I can't wait till next year.
Bill and I had a long talk whether or not we should even let you on this show.
There was a debate. There was a sit down.
That has to happen, man. You got to sit down. A little Tony Soprano action. That's totally fine with me, man. So I'm glad you love me. I'm glad I made it into the show. I'm glad I was able to help some people out there along with Bill and bring home some championships. But bittersweet day. We had a great season, and I'm eyeing up 2015 right now, getting ready for it.
All right, so time for some final predictions. Anthony Grace, Super Bowl 49. Who do you got?
Super Bowl 49. I
need a score. I need a score, too.
I think Super Bowl 49 is going to – I think Seattle goes back-to-back. I think the final score of this game is going to be 23-21.
23-21 with Seattle winning?
Correct.
Kevin, how about you?
Going to go New England 31, Seattle 24.
31-24. I'm going to take the Pats 24-20. Super Bowl 49 is in 10 days. Kevin, any final words before we take
Bill,
off and you're in
my
Arizona?
My final words are hopefully we don't have to keep talking about deflated footballs when we're in Arizona, and you better get your butt there. I'm going to be very upset.
I'm going to do my best to make it out there, buddy. And if I am out there, hopefully you can hear me join in for an interview or a segment on Patriots.com radio. But if not, I do want to sincerely thank everyone for listening this year. It's been a lot of fun. We will be back next year to help everyone win their fantasy football championships. So thanks again for listening to Fantasy Football Champs. And, of course, thanks to everyone at Patriots.com. Thanks to DraftKings, our sponsor. And go Pats, Super Bowl 49. Hopefully the next time you hear us, they are the reigning Super Bowl champions. Thanks, everybody. Have fun and good luck.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.